welcome to our final NL full-time podcast of the season. And it wouldn't be the last one unless we were speaking to you from here at Wembley Stadium, where, as we record this, we're 45 minutes away from the kickoff in the National League promotion final. Bromley against Solihull Moors. But we've got an awful lot to pack in to this pod. So much so, in fact, that we've now made a late decision to keep our England C against Nepal content for a completely separate podcast that will be out about 24 hours later than this one at NL full time. So in this one, we're going to feature three games, and it's the three National League finals. So we'll preview shortly the National League promotion final with Joe Pope, who's with me today, and also at the EBB for the England-Nepal game. We've already dispatched Christian James yesterday to St James Park, Brackley, where they took on Boston United in the Battle of the Bridesmaids, the two teams that have perennially seemed to have made the National League North playoff finals but never progressed. Christian has got lots of content for us from that one. And we've also got a debutant, Nick Brooks, who we've sent off to Woodside Road to report back to us on Worthing against Braintree from the National League South. So all that to come. We sit here now at Wembley with the ground beginning to fill up. Joe, we were spoilt last year, weren't we? Notts County and Chesterfield, two very big clubs at this level, of course. Both have now gone up to the Football League. Great turnout, numbers-wise, volume-wise, and so much drama with the game going to extra time and then eventually decided on penalties. Can today possibly live up to last year?
Yeah, obviously it's great to be back for another final. You know, two teams perhaps with smaller supports than the likes of your Notts Counties and Chesterfields of last year, but for me it's equally exciting. Two teams who are looking for a first ever promotion to the EFL, two really exciting managers, two exciting young teams, and I'm really looking forward to this one, perhaps more so than I was last year with Notts and Chesterfield. I can't call the game, and I'm really looking forward to what should hopefully be a really good game of football.
Now, regular listeners will know that myself, Rob Worrell, of course, I'm an Aldershot Town fan. Joe, you and I are completely neutral here today. We're struggling in a way to kind of lean it towards one club or the other. We've got the team sheet now. Let's have a little look at that. Not too many surprises, of course. Bromley, as we suspected, without Ben Crowhouse, who has already, of course, got his move to the Premier League with Brentford. But his injury will keep him out. A strong, respected side, a side with an awful lot of nous and leadership and some good options on the bench as well, particularly in Olofela Olamola.
Yeah, I think nous and experience are the words, aren't they? You know, the likes of your Callum Reynolds, who I know you know well, and Captain Byron Webster, just to name two. In a game like this, you need that experience, and they've certainly got that. And obviously, the experienced campaigner Miles Weston, with obviously those two goals in the playoff semi-finals against Altrincham to get them here. So, yeah, obviously a slight tweak for them with no Ben Crowhouse, and it's a slight shame for him not to get a chance to play here, given how good he's been this season, of course, getting that move to Brentford. But, yeah, they've certainly got an experienced side, and they'll fancy their chances.
Andy Wing, in his first season managing at this level, has massively overachieved. And Solihull Moors as a football club has done really, really well to embrace the level that it's been at for the last, I think, five, six, 7 years, with improvements off the pitch. They've done well in that respect. In a way, it feels a little early perhaps for them to go to the Football League, but it's not their first opportunity, of course. Two seasons ago, they were in the final, played at West Ham's London Stadium.
Yeah, obviously, different setting for them. They'll be hoping to bounce back at Wembley this afternoon. And in many ways, I think, you know, owner Darryl Eales has produced a EFL club in every respect off the pitch. It's just now whether they get the chance to be an EFL team on the pitch. But as you said, what a fantastic job Andy Wing's done. You know, two trips to Wembley. This obviously is first of the season. And they've got some experienced players in their side who were there in that final against Grimsby.
Yeah, and of course, both clubs, big game final again for second. You know, Bromley, of course, beat Wrexham here a couple of seasons ago, didn't they? So both have got experience of that. Solihull Moors, as you say, will play here again next weekend. Very little in it. It's a mugs game predicting. I certainly can't call it. I just feel that maybe Solihull might have the edge on the ground, the big wide open spaces of Wembley with the football inside. But in truth, they could dominate with the ball, couldn't they? And still one or two key moments, possibly from set pieces, could still wrap the whole thing up for Bromley.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up quite nicely there. Speaking to the Solihull Moors persuasion before the game, they do feel that they'll be the better team in possession, given how good they've been this season. But potentially, without the likes of a Richard Stearman at the back with his height, they may struggle a little bit from set pieces. I wouldn't say clash of styles, but it'd be interesting to see how two good teams who play slightly different ways go about trying to win this one.
Well, that's what Joe and I think. High time we heard from some of the supporters. We'll hear from a Bromley fan in just a short while. But Joe, you caught up a few moments ago with somebody from Solihull Moors. Just introduce him.
Yeah, so good friend Dan Horton, media assistant for Solihull, who I saw earlier this season against Eastleigh. He spoke to me about the season as a whole and the day as it's going to pan out. I'm here at the promotion final for the National League, Bromley v Solihull, and I'm joined with Dan, the media assistant from Solihull Moors. A nervous Dan, I would say. Dan, great to have you with me. Obviously, the big day is here. How are you feeling?
As you said, really, really nervous for this, but I think it's more to the fact that Bromley are a good side. Obviously, this season, all three of them, you know, none of them have been different, and we won the one that mattered, at least, in the FA Trophy, but, yeah, it's a different day today. I'm just hoping that the occasion doesn't get to us.
And you seem to be a bit of a lucky charm. Obviously, you were with Solihull the year they got to the final, and with Notts last year, so another final, obviously, a hat-trick for you. You must be a bit of a lucky charm.
Well, no, quadruple, actually, because I got the trophy as well. But, honestly, I'm very, very lucky. Going back to the London Stadium, it was a great day out, to be fair. The only thing that let me down was the actual team itself. But, you know, if you compare that Solihull side to the one today, the squad alone, it's chalk and cheese. The squad's brilliant. We can actually look at the bench and bring on players, and that was the difference with Grimsby. You know, they could look at their bench and bring on Disuwebwe, for crying out loud. You know, we can now do that ourselves. I'm more hopeful for this time round, but we'll see.
And you preempted my next question. Obviously, Solihull last time lost. There's a feeling that certainly this Solihull Moors team is better than the one that got to the London Stadium. Do you feel that as well?
Yes, I think they actually, you know, I don't want to say it in a disrespectful way, but I think they play better football. You look at Neil Ardsley's side, what it was, there was the big man Carl Hudlin up top. You know, you'd lump it up to him, see if he can bring in the quick wing-backs at the time of Ryan Barnett, Andy Dallas, Sabara as well. And that's how we played, whereas it started out as that, or very similar to that, at the start of the season. You look at Mark Beck starting a majority of that first third of the season. But ever since Tavon Campbell's come in, it's allowed us to play football. And that sell of Josh Kelly, you know, I've seen hindsight, it's been an amazing sell. You know, we brought in Campbell, brought in Tyrese Shades. Those two additions, as well as Jack Stevens stepping up to the plate, Sabara coming back from a long-term injury as well. There's not just one man we can look at. We can play very dynamic football, and we saw that. We've seen that during the playoffs alone, you know, scoring 8 goals in the 2 games we've played so far. I don't want to jinx it, but yeah, hopefully we can see a few more today.
And I don't want to pick out one person in particular, but I will. Andy Wing, obviously his first season with the Moors, two trips to Wembley. What season he's had, just a word on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember, so for the pre-season, one of our pre-season games was against Banbury, travelling to theirs. So obviously, you know, we've gone over and we did ask their media team and some of the fans and say, what do you think of Andy? Like, you know, is he good? What's going on? He went, honestly, mate, look after him because he's going to do great things for you. Obviously, he's done that. And then some, I mean, me, anyway, I thought, obviously, after last season with Ardley, disappointing, I would have taken a top half finish. And I think most Moors fans were looking at it and going, yeah, I'll take a 10th, I'll take an 11th. But that start alone, 14 matches unbeaten, I don't think anyone saw that coming. I think it all came from that game against Eastleigh, equalising last minute, Carl Morrison. And Eastleigh, I mean, we all thought they were going to be up there for the playoffs, or chasing at least. So at the time we're thinking, that's a good point. So to then carry on that momentum, the start that we've had was brilliant. And since the second weekend in, we've not left the playoffs, which I don't think many people have actually realised, if you look at it. I mean, I don't know if we'll be favourites today. I don't think it'll matter too much, to be fair. We like being the underdogs. And if we're the underdogs today, then so be it.
And on the playoffs, obviously, you had to get past Halifax, no easy side. But then you had to go away to Barnet, who finished second, and everybody had tipped to win the playoffs. That didn't quite go to plan for them, but certainly went well for Moors.
Yeah, I mean, you say tip them for promotion, Barnet. I was one of them. You know, I thought Barnet would have won the playoffs, especially looking at it from the outside. Absolutely, they should have, but football doesn't work like that. It's a weird game because Solihull genuinely scored with the first shot they got on target. And from there, it was just a typical Andy Wing away performance. You know, defensively so, so sound. And then can hit him on the break with the pace of Stephen, Shea, Tabara. And I think 4-0 was, maybe it's a bit harsh on them because they've not deserved that because they're a good side and they'll definitely be one of the ones to watch next season, and then hopefully we don't have to play Barnet next season, but we'll see.
And you say it was a typical Andy Wing away performance. No better place to have a Andy Wing away performance than Wembley. Obviously you get another chance of that next weekend. What are you expecting today? Are you confident?
Quietly, but no, Bramley are a good team. I mean, I remember the 3-0 they beat us in the league. That day they kept Osborne and Maycock quiet and we just couldn't get out of first gear that day. Maybe there was some hangover from the cup as well, but I suppose that's the most recent memory of it. But if Ozzy, he's the one you got to look for. If he can get playing, we've got an absolute, you know, brilliant chance of going far. Obviously set pieces as well, I do fancy them over us in set pieces anyway. That'll come back to bite me, but Bromley, it'll be a tough game and I don't want to make a prediction, I really don't.
So on to Bromley then. I'm here with Dan Bentley, who's working for the Bromley media team and doing some commentary of the game this afternoon. Good luck with that, Dan. And you've just trumped me because I've supported Aldershot Town since I was 7, but you've supported Bromley since you were 6. The only thing is I'm a bit older than you.
Yeah, my dad first took me down to Hayes Lane when I was about 6. Just been watching ever since, been down Saturdays at 3 o'clock, and then I think this is now just completing my third full season doing co-commentary, voluntary work alongside my university degree. Loved every minute of it. I've seen Bromley, I think it was about 17 years ago today, Bromley got promoted to the Conference South, and now I'm on the verge of 90 minutes away from the Football League, so it's quite a surreal experience.
And it's no strange place to Bromley, is it? You've obviously beaten Wrexham in the FA Trophy final a couple of years ago, and under my good mate Smudger Smith came here, and that didn't work out that day, did it? But that was still a hell of an achievement back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. That one, of course, losing out on penalties was cruel. It's cruel at any game to lose, a cup game to lose on penalties. And I was a fan that day. I was behind the goal. And then to come here, and I think almost in 2018, Bromley were favourites, obviously being in the division above their opponents, and then obviously against Wrexham being favourably underdogs against a big Wrexham side with their Hollywood stars. I think we pulled it out of the bag really well and really good performance. So I've seen us lose and win, and either way, I'm hoping that Bromley can make it two wins in three Wembley appearances.
We're finding it as neutrals quite difficult to predict. We were just saying a minute ago, possibly Solihull, maybe with the ball, the likes of Sabar and Osborne could perhaps dominate the ball, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Bromley have the nous, the leadership, the experience and a great record from set pieces.
Yeah, brilliant. I think particularly the start of the season, Bromley are really strong from set pieces, but the three games this season against Solihull, we've won, drawn and lost, so it couldn't be any more even. And like you say, form goes out the window at Wembley. When it's a cup final like it is today, form goes out the window. It's anyone's game, and it just depends on who turns up on the day.
Final question I've got to ask the guy who got the job from being his experience of football manager on the tactical side of things. I mean, what a start in the job. Yeah, I don't know how much credit's due to him, but just a few months, a couple of months into his new career, he'll be here somewhere at Wembley today. And he'll be hoping they get it right too, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. He was down there just doing an interview now, yeah. So, of course, you've got that extra bit of tactical nous in the backroom staff. And, of course, every role at the club is responsible for something important. And everyone, the backroom staff, the first team players, the management staff, the coaches, the fans, have got Bromley to where they are today.
Well, we can't call it. I'm not going to ask you to because I know it's a mugs game. But I am very, very pleased for somebody in your side, Callum Reynolds, who I've gotten to know a lot over the years. He's been on our podcast a lot. And despite five, I think, six appearances in the playoffs, this is the first time he's ever got to Wembley.
Really?
So he for one, is somebody who's going to have enough experience to be able to enjoy today, but he'll so desperately want that win, won't he?
Yeah, 100%. He's been Mr. Consistent for the two seasons that we've had him. He's so reliable at the back. And when you've got someone like Byron Webster next to you, and, of course, the loanee from Millwall, Kamal Grant, you've just got a brilliant back three. And when you've got someone like Callum Reynolds who consistently performs an 8 out of 10 each week, I think I remember seeing you the first Aldershot game I'd done away, you telling me how he got man of the match away at you guys and how valuable he was for you at your time at Aldershot. So he's an excellent player and he's just Mr. Consistent.
Right, the teams are out here at Wembley. Around about 16,000 Bromley fans and about 4,000 Solihull Moors fans. Just caveat that with the fact that a lot of Solihull Moors fans had previously bought tickets for next week's non-league finals day. The teams are now lining up, the trophies on display. And quick run through the sides. I'm going to read the Bromley team. Joe's going to read the Solihull team. So in goal, Grant Smith. Then you've got Callum Reynolds, Kamal Grant and Byron Webster. Ashley Charles, Jude Arthurs, Idris Odjeteo, Miles Weston, Michael Cheek and Corey Whiteley. And for Solihull, Joe?
Solihull Moors in goal, Nick Hayes, James Clark, Joe Newton, Cole Morrison, Callum Maycock, Joe Sabara, Tyree Shade, Jack Stevens, Tavon Campbell, Alex Whitmore and Moors' captain is Jamie Osborne.
And two very proud and happy managers out there. Andy Woodman with a suit on and trainers and a baseball cap. And Andy Wing in that lucky beige jacket. We're approaching the 10th minute here, and the first 10 minutes, Joe, have belonged almost completely and exclusively to Bromley.
Yeah, they started really well. Miles Weston being brought into the game a lot down this right-hand side. A couple of really good chances for him. And also Louis Dennis as well had an early low shot which went just past the post, and they've certainly started the better side. Solihull can't seem to get out at the moment.
Well, they get out now, but all Stevens can do is hook it forward and it'll go all the way through to Grant Smith, who's playing as a bit of a sweeper keeper. No doubt which of these two teams have started the best, but 10 minutes in, 0-0. Approaching the half an hour mark, Joe, and it's a little bit more even now. Solihull Moors have had their first effort of the afternoon a few minutes ago. Joe Sabara with a shot deflecting and Grant Smith dealing with it comfortably. And then after that, Campbell running through, definitely had a hand round him, and then a little bit of a push in the back, but the referee deeming no penalty.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a Solihull Moors fan, I'd be disappointed it wasn't given. There was clear push, but yeah, it's settled down quite nicely, I think, as you would expect for a game like this. Two really, really well coached teams, defensively good, and they've sort of cancelled each other out. Chances at a premium so far.
Cheek in, and he scores! Takes advantage of the slip by Whitmore in the area. Moores can't believe it. Michael Cheek doesn't need a second invitation. And the master strikes again.
Yeah, what a goal. Lovely composure in front of goal. All those Bromley fans that have just made their way for a pizza and a pint will miss that. But Michael Cheek certainly didn't miss it. Lovely finish. Solihull Moors, I feel there was a foul on Alex Whitmore. Andy Wing is furious on the touchline, but Andy Woodman is delighted, punches the air, and Bromley have the lead on the stroke of half-time.
Talk about making something out of nothing. Well done, Michael Cheek, as he salutes the 16,000 Bromley supporters. And Bromley have struck the first blow. Half-time then, Joe. And three quarters of the ground are happy, aren't they? But, in fairness, we've seen replays of the goal. And, of course, there is no VAR at National League, even though they could be here at Wembley today. But we have to say what we see. And if there were if there was a VAR, it would have ruled out the goal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was a foul from Michael Cheek. Albeit soft, but still a foul on Alex Whitmore. And Solihull Moors will certainly be hard done by. The fact that they weren't given a penalty for a clear push on Tavon Campbell, Michael Cheek giving a foul on Alex Whitmore, Jamie Osborne had a go at the fourth official on the way into the dressing room, and understandably so. And Andy Wing has a little pop at James Durkin as well on the way out. So yeah, really disappointed Solihull Moors, but 45 minutes to put it right yet.
Just to be clear, I don't think it was any intention of Cheek to make the foul, but the reality is he inadvertently trod on Whitmore's foot, on his boot, didn't he? Which stopped Whitmore from continuing to compete for that 50-50 ball. Bromley fans won't care. Solihull Moors fans will be hurting, and they'll be looking for a bit of justice in the second half. Half-time, Bromley 1, Solihull Moors 0. So Solihull Moors out already for the second half. Bromley coming out now. And the general consensus of opinion in the media box at half-time, other than one or two Bromley people looking rather sheepish and keeping their head down, was that it was a foul. Even a current professional footballer who shall remain nameless, who's here with us in the media box, said, yeah, foul every time.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've got to look at it from the point of view of Alex Whitmore. You know, the ball's trying to be played in behind him to Michael Cheek. So there's no reason for Alex Whitmore to go to ground and leave the ball to Michael Cheek. Because 9 times out of 10, and sometimes even higher than that, you know that Michael Cheek's going to score. So it was a foul, albeit soft, but it's gone now, and Bromley have got the lead. So Lowell have just got to come back into it and put it out of their heads.
Yeah, they've got to use that sense of injustice to spur them on to get back into this game. And as a neutral, I just hope that there are more goals in this game and we don't end up talking about that as the key moment.
Yeah, I hope that that isn't the moment that decides a final.
Sabara into Campbell. Shot comes in, palmed away. Followed up by Joe Sabara. Sabara on the spot to put Moors level. 48 minutes gone, Joe.
Yeah, they needed an early goal and it's taken them only 3 minutes. Lovely bit of movement on the edge of the box. Lovely passing play. Tavon Campbell with a low shot, parried out, and Joe Sabara's there, smashes home 1-0.
Penalty to Bromley, 57th minute. No doubt from the referee, it's Cheek that's gone down. Joe, the Bromley fans are calling for more punishment as well. We'll see what happens with that. What was your thoughts? I was just momentarily distracted, so I didn't see it.
Yeah, the first Michael Cheek one wasn't a foul. That one certainly was. Back pass to Nick Hayes, which was undersold. Michael Cheek with that nouse. He got to the ball first, pushed the ball past Nick Hayes. Hayes cleared him out, and Cheek went over, and it was a penalty. We're just seeing a replay of it now. Yeah, definitely gets the ball first.
Surely it's a goal-scoring opportunity, no?
No, Hayes was in the box, so double jeopardy. He can't be sent off, giving away the penalty, so that's your first jeopardy. And Cheek now with a chance to score from the spot.
Right, Cheek against Hayes. Hayes goes to the right, Cheek goes down the middle. And there it is. Cheek to Cheek. 2-1 Bromley.
Yeah, as you'd expect from Michael Cheek. Puts it away with aplomb. Nick Hayes couldn't keep it out. And 2-1 to Bromley.
Would you believe it? Solihull Moors have levelled again, and it's that man, Jamie Osborne, just wandering with the ball on the edge of the area, found a yard of space, shot low to Grant Smith's right. Grant smashes the post with his hand. I think he feels he should have got it. 65 minutes gone, 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2, and it's another experienced midfielder, Jamie Osborne, that steps up. Sabara with the first, Osborne with the second. And if I was Solihull Moors now, shoot to Grant Smith's right. He cannot get down.
And just to add a little bit of humour here, just quietly between us on our bits of paper, we've written down scores. Now, Joe wrote 3-1 Solihull. And I wrote 2-1 Bromley. Neither of them can happen. We're out of this game, Joe, but never mind. We're enjoying the fact that the goals are flying in. 3 in the first 20 minutes of the second half.
Yeah, we wanted it to open up a bit more, and I suppose as the game goes on, they've got to take a little bit more risk. And I'm delighted we've now got a really, really good final. Two teams going at each other. Makes a really good finish.
Yeah, someone's got to try and find a winner, and we're not going to be subjected to 30 minutes of Bromley's low block with Michael Cheek up top. So we're entering the business end of this one. 17 minutes to go of normal time, 2-2. A thought that's just crossed my mind. Solihull Moors, whatever happens from here, what a playoff campaign for them. That's their 10th goal in the playoffs. 2 4s and now a 2 and maybe more to follow. And they've made a substitution. Just tell us about that substitution and the positional change they've made.
Yeah, so Jack Stevens, with his injury, has gone off. He started out on the left wing. Tyree Shade has gone across to left wing now. And John Benton has come on, player that I've waxed lyrical about before. He's played mainly as a right wing back for Solihull this year, so that's a position that he will know.
Right, that's it. Yet again, in the National League promotion final, we're going to extra time. In truth, the game has lived up to our hopes. Absolutely nothing in it. 2-2 in terms of goals scored. And in those 7 added minutes, Joe, both teams really went for it. Clark curled one just over. Arthurs drew a save, didn't he, from Hayes. And as we look ahead to the extra time, Bromley have used 2 subs already. They brought Kirk and Olamola on. And so far, Solihull Moors have only used 1. So any thoughts on the remaining players on the bench and who could be key coming off it?
Yeah, well, I suppose at this point, if you're a manager, you kind of have to think about who you might want to take a penalty to try and make sure you don't take them off. But I think for Solihull Moors, they might look to Mark Beck, obviously, if they want to be a little bit more direct. And occupy those Bromley defenders. But I think that's virtually, you know, the two teams we've got out there now will be the final two 11s.
and one of those will have to go and win it in extra time. And as you say, it's been a really good final. It has lived up to our expectations. And yeah, it's all to play for again, isn't it?
Well, we don't know, as both sides obviously go into their little huddles, if anybody's feeling any knocks that might prevent them completing this game. I don't doubt at all if Solihull Moors get themselves ahead, we'll see Labadie and Beck on in no time. But I think Wing believes in the players he's got out there now. I think they've not really dominated, but they've probably shaded it. You can't honestly say either side has blown the opportunity to win this game. There's not been a lot in it.
Yeah, a draw is a fair result for 90 minutes, and will there be a winner in extra time?
10 minutes into extra time, and the story for Bromley is they're on the front foot, and they've had chances, notably Alex Kirk, who's curled one a little bit high and a little bit wide, and then he's got his head onto a corner and thumped a header against the bar. That's the closest either side have come. For Solihull Moors, they're reeling a little bit. They've already had to replace Jamie Osborne with Labadie Joe, and it looks very much now like Carl Morrison's afternoon's done. Who's going to replace him?
Yeah, Max Taylor, formerly of Kidderminster, isn't it? Carl Morrison's had a really good game, but his afternoon is brought to an end as well. So two changes for Solihull in this extra time.
And just one other point of note, Nick Hayes has been limping a little bit, the Solihull Moors goalkeeper. And Solihull Moors do not have a keeper on the bench. Bromley do. Here's Cheek spreading the ball brilliantly out to the right-hand side. Arthur's edge of the area shot. Oh, my word! Hits the inside of the post. Flies across the goal and behind to safety. And I think it was Kirk again, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Kirk. He's whipping up the ball at the Bromley fans. And, fantastic arrowing strike, beating Nick Hayes, but it didn't beat the post and it came back out. Andy Woodman, incredulous on the sideline. Andy Wing, nervous as anything. And, yeah, nearly the winner in the most dramatic of circumstances, as the Bromley fans' head in their hands. They thought they'd won it.
You saw the Champions League semis last week. Kylian Mbappe did that, and then there was another follow-up shot a minute or two later that did the same thing. What is it with the inside of the post being hit at the minute and the ball staying out? 5 minutes left of extra time, 2-2. That's it then. The National League promotion final is going to penalties. 2-2. And it's time for both sides' management teams to look their players square in the eye and ask them or tell them if they're going to take a penalty. I think it's the right result, Joe. I can't honestly say that one team really should have won or dominated.
No, I think that's correct. I think both teams had opportunities to win it. But I think in the end, a draw is fair, and it's back down to the lottery of penalties. And obviously, that means that it's the same as last year, isn't it? You know, 2-2 penalties, and could it be at the same end? Andy Wing will be hoping that it's in front of the Solihull end. But yeah, penalties to decide a spot in the EFL.
Here we go then with penalties. First to step up for Solihull Moors, Tyrese Shade against Grant Smith. It's a great save, down low to his left by Grant Smith. And Joe, we've been saying it all along, he's weak going down to his right. They've gone the other side and he's saved it.
Yeah, and I said to you before that I didn't think Tyrese Shade was going to score, and he hasn't. So advantage Bromley.
And now it's Michael Cheek's turn. Can he get a hat-trick of sorts? Ooh, he can! But he went straight down the middle. Hayes stayed there. And it rolled across his arm, Joe.
Yeah, we don't see that enough. Go low and hard down the middle. And Bromley are one up.
Second penalty is saved again. Away to his right by Grant Smith. from Josh Labadie. And Joe, I think you've got some words to retract.
Yeah, a pretty poor penalty. Easy hope for Grant Smith. He saves it. And that's another advantage to Bromley. Chance to make it 2-0.
And this penalty shootout might be at the Solihull Moors end, but it's been a disaster so far for Moors. Both of their first two penalties have been saved. Bromley then. Another save away to his right. And again, the cramp comes in. And the penalty is saved.
Yeah, Ashley Charles, the one to miss this time. Really good save from Nick Hayes. Gets across well and keeps the Bromley taker out.
And Campbell's looking to get Solihull Moors' first converted penalty of this shootout. Steps up right footed and on this occasion buries it in the corner, and Smith is kind of leaden footed, doesn't go either way. Olamola against Hayes scores, sends him the wrong way, and now it is 2-1 to Bromley after three penalties each. So often in penalty shootouts, the first side to miss goes on to win, but on this occasion, both sides have missed already, twice in Solihull Moors' case. And now, is it Nana Boateng? Not long on the pitch. Steps up for Solihull Moors. And again goes to Smith's right. Smith goes to his left. And it's 2-2, but Solihull Moors have taken an extra penalty. Now, this looks like Jude Arthur's to me, Joe.
Yeah, and Jude Arthur's has been everywhere so far tonight. And it looks like he's cramping up a little bit in the walk up to the penalty.
Honestly, it's the walk of death, isn't it? And your legs are already aching. And the aches will disappear if it ripples the back of the net. So Bromley, to make it four penalties each. Arthur's sends Hayes the wrong way. It's 3-2 to Bromley after four each. And we are now at the business end. John Benton coming up to take this one. And quite simply, Joe, he has to score.
Yeah, I said in our discussion earlier that I thought he might be the match winner off the bench. Could he potentially be the match loser for Solihull Moors?
Grant Smith shown a yellow card just for wasting a bit of time. Now takes his place back in the goal. John Benton to keep Solihull Moors in it. In off the post. The third consecutive Moors penalty that's gone to Smith's right, and Smith's gone left every time or stayed.
Yeah, really good penalty. In off the post. And it's Byron Webster with the chance to send Bromley into the Football League.
It is the Bromley skipper. He gives a little smile to the keeper he's about to face. Can Webster put Bromley in the Football League? Yes, he can! The Solihull Moors players crumple in a heap on the halfway line. All of a sudden, the Bromley players find more energy to sprint and celebrate with Webster. Cheek runs along the pitch in front of the Bromley fans. They've done it. Andy Woodman's Ravens are in the Football League. Joe Pope.
Yeah, congratulations to Bromley. Commiserations to Solihull Moors. Two teams that have given absolutely everything for this. But it's Bromley that are in the Football League for the first ever time.
Any moment now, Byron Webster will lift the National League promotion final trophy. 16,000 expectant Bromley fans await. The players are on the balcony. Here we go. Callum Reynolds, I saw the roar of delight on your face up there. Just try and describe how it feels.
34 years, a whole career, a whole lifetime working to get out get out of the National League. And now we've done it. And we deserve it. I've never worked so hard in my life.
Hard to find the words right now.
Yeah, mate. Just going to take it all in because I don't know if this will ever happen again. But I'm going to enjoy it.
If there's one player I've got to know in the last 10 years who deserves this, it's you, fella. Cheers, all the best to you, Cal. Enjoy the celebrations.
One man not to be forgotten as Bromley got promoted to the EFL was the former manager, Neil Smudger Smith, who of course played such a big part in putting the foundations together, putting things in place for Bromley to use as a springboard, as they've done so well under Andy Woodman. And here's the thoughts of Smudger soon after the final whistle.
Hi Rob, it's absolutely fantastic for my local club that I went to, I played for, I coached, assistant manager, to manage them, help them in my small way, part of what they've achieved today. It's amazing. I'm so proud of the club, the supporters, the players. You know, see Cheeky, who I brought in, scoring those two goals and then taking his penalty, and obviously, you know, Byron bringing him in and scoring the winning goal. I'm so pleased for them all. They've been amazing and thoroughly deserved the promotion into League Two.
So, Joe and I split up after the game and following my brief word with Callum Reynolds, Joe initially caught up with the losing manager, Andy Wing, and then after that had a quick word with the winning manager, Andy Woodman, and also his captain and the scorer of the winning penalty, Byron Webster.
Andy, everyone else is asked to it. Obviously, disappointment to lose out in a final. You must be gutted to lose it in such a circumstance like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, full credit to Bromley. Well done to them. Congratulations to them. You know, an unfortunate sport, there has to be a winner and loser. And it's a flip of a coin, isn't it? It's a lottery, those penalties. You know, unfortunately, we come on the wrong side of it in such a massive game today. Yeah, just absolutely gutting, obviously, you know, but I'm so proud of the club, the players, you know, they've given their absolute all today. Go toe-to-toe with a team who've knocked on the door for the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, obviously we're really, really disappointed.
And you obviously have to do some soul-searching after that and you'll be disappointed, but you must be so proud of what you've achieved this year.
Yeah, obviously when you probably look back at it, you know, there'll be a sense of obviously, you know, being proud of what we've done. You know, not many teams come to Wembley twice in 6 days, especially for a small club like ourselves. You know, but I'm here to win. I'm here to achieve. I didn't do that today, so I'm, you know, obviously extremely gutted and disappointed. You know, for the fans, for the chairman, for everybody associated with the football club. You know, but we have to dust ourselves down, obviously, and we come back again on Saturday.
And obviously it's a pleasure to cover the National League, and because of so many up and coming young managers, can I just say thank you to you for being a breath of fresh air this year in the fifth tier?
No, thank you. Yeah, it's been no real expectations. You know, I wasn't a name, so to speak, coming into it. You know, I had full belief in what I can do. And it's been an unbelievable season, obviously, but you know, we couldn't get over the line today, so absolutely gutted on that. But you know, I think when we look back at it, we can be proud of what we've done. You know, but I'm a winner and I want to win, and unfortunately, we couldn't do that today.
Andy, you said going into this game that you were destined to get this football club into the Football League. You've done it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's been an unhealthy obsession for me that I wanted to do it, you know, and it's not easy. This is a tough league to get out of. So, you know, and let's be honest, it came down to fine margins at the end. But I left no stone unturned with my staff and myself and my players. And, you know, the old saying is that maybe the harder you work, the luckier you get. And maybe the football gods looked to me today and felt we deserved it.
And obviously a shot from Alex Kurt, which goes in off the outside of the post. When things like that happen, do you think it's not going to be our day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't. But yeah, when he hit the bar, then he hit the post, I thought, got a bad feeling about this, you know. And then when it went to penalties, I just felt that my goalkeeper is just top draw. And he proved it on the day.
And obviously you were a top keeper yourself, and you've got, as you say, the best in the National League in Grant Smith. Was he the difference today?
I think at the end, when it went to penalties, it was, yeah, for sure. I mean, that was a big moment for him. But look, they've all been brilliant, all to a man. So, yeah, I'm delighted.
And you fell short in the playoffs last year, but have managed to go one better this. Obviously, there's been some teams, the likes of Torquay, who've lost in finals and then been relegated out of the division. How pleased and proud are you to have actually regrouped and gone further?
Yeah, listen, it's not easy. You know, look at the Wokings and the Borough Woods this year. They've struggled after being in it. There's always a hangover. And I've got to be honest, when it hit the post in the bar, I suddenly started thinking, oh, we don't have a hangover next year if we don't go up. But look, we got across the line, and I'm going to enjoy the night.
And how do you plan on celebrating after a win like this?
Yeah, I don't really know, if the truth is. I'm probably going to, my son's here, my daughter's here, all my family are here, so we're going to probably let the lads go into the night, and I'm going to slope off and have a bit of family time.
Well done, Byron. Obviously promoted to the Football League. Bromley need somebody big to step up in a big moment at Wembley. Luckily, they had you, who's done it multiple times before.
Yeah, definitely. It'll go down with me scoring the winner and taking us here, there and everywhere. But, you know, Cheeky scored two in the game. Granty saved them. It's a team effort. And we've got a great group of lads in there, all in it for one. And, you know, we're led by a great manager and Dunny, his assistant, who, you know, he's an unsung hero, Dunny. He does so much for this club behind the scenes. The gaffer will admit it. Dunny's probably the brains. He sorts everything out. And the gaffer's there to be the motivator. The gaffer's there to manage. And they're a fantastic group.
And you fell short last year, gone one further this year. How difficult has it been? And what has it required? Because obviously your former manager lost in a playoff final in Gary Johnson and then got relegated out of the division. But you've gone one further and got into the Football League.
Yeah, it's crazy football, isn't it? You get a bit of momentum, it's hard when you lose the next season. What is it called? Losing syndrome or whatever it is can hurt teams. Fortunately, we've won, and hopefully we can take it into next season.
And you're now back in the Football League. That must be a really special moment for you, given what a good career you've had to help Bromley get back to or get into the Football League for the first ever time.
Yeah, definitely. It's a proud moment. We go down in the history books of Bromley Football Club. But it'd be fantastic to make sure they stay in the league and keep them in there. So that I'm sure that'll be the aim for next year.
And just finally, you play in front of Grant Smith. Andy Woodman said it himself that he is the best goalkeeper in the National League, obviously in the team of the year. You must be confident when you got someone like him guarding your goal, and obviously he made some big saves in the penalty shootout.
Definitely. Grant is, you know, a very quiet lad off the pitch, but on the pitch he comes alive. And he's a monster. A monster on the penalties, a monster in the game. I can't speak highly enough of him.
Joe also managed to catch up with another Bromley hero of the day, goalkeeper Grant Smith.
Grant, congratulations. Back in the EFL, that must be a really proud feeling.
Yeah, really happy. Obviously just buzzing for the lads, buzzing for the club, obviously the staff, just the community. Obviously you saw they come out in numbers today, so you could see it right at the end what it really means to them.
And when it went to extra time, were you starting to think about penalties?
Yeah, it felt like that. Obviously it felt like a game where no team wanted to lose rather than a certain team wanting to go for the win. It was obviously a cagey last half an hour, and obviously mentally I was starting to sort of prepare for the penalties, and thankfully we obviously come on the right side of it.
And Andy Woodman said that going into the penalties that he was confident because he had the best goalkeeper in the National League.
Yeah, no, look, I appreciate that from him, especially coming from obviously an ex-goalkeeper, an ex-goalkeeping coach, so obviously those words mean a lot to me. That he's been brilliant for me all season. He's gave me the confidence and gave me the belief just to go out there and do what I do, and thankfully I'm really happy to repay him.
And this must feel even sweeter, the fact that you were relegated out of the division with Yeovil
to then get promoted out of it and play such a big part with Bromley?
Yeah, it's massive. Obviously, last year was really disappointing. Obviously, the club was not in a good place off the pitch, which obviously a lot of people don't really know or hear about too much. But yeah, just really happy to be able to obviously play quite a big role in obviously making history for the club and getting promoted.
And that wraps up our National League promotion final. But 24 hours earlier, Christian James went along to Brackley for us to see how the National League North playoff final would work out between Brackley and his very own Boston United.
Christian here at St James's Park for Saturday's National League North playoff final. The host Brackley Town come into this one 13 games unbeaten. They've won their last five matches, including a 1-0 success over Chorley in the playoff semi-finals last weekend. Ricardo Calder scoring the only goal of the game on 76 minutes. They qualified for that one by finishing third in the league, and Town were last year's defeated playoff finalists. They've been in the playoffs the last five times, six occasions in all, as they look to make the step up. There's only one team that's been in this division longer than Brackley, and that's their opponents, Boston United, who finished sixth in the league with a couple of away victories in the final few days of the season to set up trips to Alfreton Town and then Scunthorpe United. Both of those were overcome via a penalty shootout after a goalless draw. United haven't conceded in five matches. That's since a 2-1 defeat at home to today's opposition, Brackley Town. The Saints having also been successful 2-1 when the sides met in Northamptonshire just before Christmas. In a one-off game, anything can happen. These sides are littered with playoff disappointment in the past. One of them must make the step up today. It's the National League North playoff final. Boston United, hosted by Brackley Town. Before kick-off, I bumped into the perfect man to speak to for this occasion. Ex-Brackley, ex-Boston, a winner in this occasion last year. Shane, we'll start on your time at Brackley. It's Shane Byrne, sorry, for those that don't know. You were here a long time, FA Trophy winner, never quite got over the line, but a club that you really enjoyed your time with.
Yeah, 5 years here, 4 years playoffs, one final, a semi-final and a couple of quarter-finals. So I know how losing in this playoffs feels as a Brackley player, and how close we've been over the years I was here. And then since I've left, they've made this the second final in 2 years. So it's a club that probably deserves to go up through the playoffs as well, the amount of time they've spent in it. But they'll know more than everybody that it's not an easy task, and how big and how hard the task ahead is today with Boston in front of them.
Yeah, and you then came to Boston one season with the Pilgrims, another final, disappointment at York, but it was a hell of a journey to get there. And again, you just weren't quite able to get over the line with Boston.
Yeah, I loved my time at Boston. That season holds a special place in my heart. You know, we came together really as a group and pushed on. And with that squad we had, to be honest, probably should have gained promotion. But obviously lost at the final hurdle again. I've lost at the final hurdle with both these clubs. So, again, it's a club that two finals in the last 3 years. Playoff, unsuccessful for them as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting game for me. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure who I'm supporting, because I love my time at both clubs. I've got people at both clubs who I love and who I keep in contact with today. So I'm looking forward to the game, and whoever does go up, both richly deserve it, to be honest. It'd be nice to see both clubs in the National League.
And you're a popular man around here with both sets of fans today. Weren't quite so popular at this occasion last year, winning it with Kidderminster. It must have been some feeling to finally get over the line yourself and complete those National League North playoffs.
Yeah, it was a bittersweet feeling doing it at Brackley, you know, because I did spend 5 years here, but it was a long time coming. I think it was my seventh National League North playoff campaign and three finals with three different teams. So, yeah, to finally get over the line was sort of like a euphoric feeling for me. And probably doing it here as well was a weird one, but it was a nice one at the same time. And it's weird being back here a year later, sort of in the same ground, but the feelings are different, obviously being relegated this year with Kitty. So listen, I'm just excited for the game and looking forward to it. And like I said, whoever wins, probably richly deserve it. And I think I'll be a happy man either way to see who goes up.
Thanks for speaking to us today. That was Shane Byrne, head of Boston United, against Brackley Town. Brackley Town lead after 34 minutes. Morgan Roberts finishing off a move started by Shep Murrumbidgee. He clipped a delightful little pass out to the right back George Carline, and his cross was too hot for Zach Mills to deal with. Roberts stealing in after Newton and Hall had both tried to get on the end of it to tap beyond Cameron Gregory. 1-0 to Brackley after 34 minutes. It's a birthday present from the birthday boy to all of Boston. Keaton Ward levelling just before half time. Boston were allowed the time to take a long throw in down the attacking right. Brad Nicholson tossing it into a dangerous area, and after Brackley had only partially cleared, Ward lashed home through a crowd of bodies and into Danny Lewis's bottom right corner. Keaton Ward, 45+3, 1-1. Penalty to Boston United about 15 minutes into the second half. Dylan Hill did well to keep the ball in down the right hand side. He played in right wing back Jay Rowe, who was felled by a couple of Brackley bodies. It's Jimmy Knowles that's going to take it. United have scored 10 of 11 penalties in their shootouts. Knowles didn't involve in either. He takes it and he scores. Jimmy Knowles, 2-1 to Boston United. He celebrates in front of the 900 travelling fans. United have turned this around in the space of 15 minutes. Boston United 2, Brackley Town 1. We are going up, chant the Boston United fans at the crooked end of the ground at Brackley Town. It's been 17 long years since they were demoted in disgrace out of the Football League, straight down to the second tier of non-league football before being hoofed out to another demotion a year later. They made the step back to Tier 2 in 2010. They've had five playoff disappointments. They're seconds away from finally doing the job this time and playing nationwide football for the first time since 2007 as Boston clear a free kick deep into Brackley territory. The referee looks at his watch. We've played 8 minutes of the five added on. You can hear the whistles from the Boston end. They want this done. They think it's finished. They're cheering every single clearance like a goal here. 14 long years in National League football, National League North football, almost at an end here for Boston, unless anything remarkable happens in these final few seconds as Brackley bring the ball forward with Bates. The substitute, the fresh legs, he gets it over halfway. Giassi gets to touch him, but it's still Bates. Giassi mops up again. He's breaking back into Brackley territory. All he has to do is square for Hazel for a third. He takes it to the corner instead. Captain Gareth Dean trying to rescue it. Giassi looking after this ball. He wants a free kick. He wants anything. He's not going to get it. Brackley have got it clear again. He looks at his whistle. And that's it! It's the United in the National League! They've done it! Boston United promoted! 17 long years outside the top five tiers of English football have finished. It's Boston United's year. This young squad have stood up when it's mattered most. And a man that's seen it all, Craig Singleton, has his hands on his head alongside me. Boston United, your National League North playoff winners. And that Jimmy Knowles penalty just before the hour proved the difference in the end as Boston United recorded a comeback victory, their third success away from home in these National League North playoffs, to make it to the National League. And it's the highest standing the club's had since the turmoil and the disgrace of losing their Football League status, being demoted down to the third tier of non-league. The chairman, David Newton, he came in at that point, cleared debts, he's built the club a new stadium, he's restored the reputation of Boston United, really. Him and a number of others who have worked tirelessly for so long. And it is just brilliant to see them enjoy this moment. Boston have come close. They've certainly done it the hard way. They've been at this level since 2010. Three playoff semi-final heartbreaks. They lost in two finals, to Altrincham in 2020 and to York in 2022. Ian Culverhouse came in with the club bottom of the league last September. He's turned things around and deserves immense credit. Boston have got a young, hungry squad with a few experienced pros, and they've got the business done. And after the game, I caught up on the pitch with their goalkeeper, who's had a huge part in all three playoff victories, Cameron Gregory. We're on the pitch at Brackley Town with Boston United's number one. And Cam, you signed a season and a half ago, Boston trying to keep themselves in this division. You've got them out the other end. What's that feeling?
I have no words, to be honest with you. It's such a surreal feeling. I've had a tough career, and to come here and play for a year and a half, it's been phenomenal. That's not even the word for it. It's been better than that. It's wow. It's just wow.
And usually in successful teams, goalkeepers are there to keep clean sheets, do the job, and it's the forwards that get the big moments. But in these playoffs, you've had a huge part in every victory. Penalty save at Alfreton, two saves at Scunthorpe, and then some big saves first half today. Would you prefer to be out the way of danger, or glad to be involved when it counts?
Well, every goalkeeper loves it when they don't have to make a save, because And I haven't for a long time. This is the only time in a while that I've had to make the saves, and I've been there to do it, so I'm glad, very glad.
And you've got a squad, a young squad, but with some experienced pros in there. Do you think that's a real basis for other teams to work off now, how it's done, a young, hungry group, and then a few experienced heads to guide you?
Yeah, definitely. It's the young lads in this squad are fantastic. You wouldn't peg them as young lads, really, because some of them are just phenomenal. And you've got the likes of Woodsy, Bozzy, Millsy, which are just on a whole other level. Whole other level.
And there was one man that I'd had plenty of correspondence with over the last couple of weeks. I just about managed to drag him out of the changing room for a couple of minutes. He told me, as you'll hear, a couple of weeks ago, exactly what was going to happen today. He'd be scoring on his birthday in the playoff final. Here's me speaking to Keaton Ward. Keaton, two or three weeks ago you said to me, the final's my birthday, we'll be there, I'll be scoring in it. We're here, you scored in it, Boston are going up. Talk us through it.
It's one of them. I just think everything fell perfect for me today. Like, your birthday, a perfect group to go into a big game with, and it's one of them. I can't really describe in words my feelings, but just over the moon.
Yourself, and it's true for a number of the other players, young squad, had careers where you've been at this level but not been at the top end. What's it been like to all come together? And it's, like you say, it's suddenly all clicked, hasn't it? You've come good at just the right time, got the job done, and you're in the National League.
Yeah, it tends to happen, doesn't it? You look back at teams in the last couple of years, getting there on the last day, and the momentum takes them through. And we said the hardest thing to do is go away 5 games on the spin and win, but there's no better place to do it with this bunch of lads.
And in those 5 games, you've had some different tests. You've had a team struggling in Banbury, Hereford, a good footballing side, and then a real test at Alfreton, coped with a big crowd at Scunthorpe, and then come up against a team that have been consistent at the top end. You can't say you haven't earned it. You've played everything the National League North's had to throw at you, really, in these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think start of the season, or even midway through the season, there's games in there that we lose. And I think credit to the gaffer and Baz and Simo and all the staff that they get us ready for every game, and they've said to us, we will at some point we'll come good, and when it clicks we'll be a force to be reckoned with. And I think that's proven. We lose twice to Brackley during the season, probably give them 4 goals, and then we didn't give them anything today. I even think at 2-1, when you think it's going to be a tough test, I think we limited them.
And after you equalised just before half time, then Jimmy puts you in front, there didn't seem to be too many nervous moments, really. It seemed as comfortable as these things can ever be.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think as a group we've just stood up to it and stood up to what they've thrown at us, and I don't know, it's just unbelievable.
Thanks for your time, Keaton. Go and enjoy it.
So one more final to cover. That took place at Woodside Road on Monday. Worthing against Braintree turned out to be an absolute cracker, and we had a guest reporter for the day. Nick Brooks went along for NL full time.
Yes, I'm here at Woodside Road, about 45 minutes out from kickoff now. Team news just in. As you'd expect, all the standout names for both teams starting. Ollie Pearce, the danger man for Worthing, 40 goals this season, starts, as does Joe Felix and Danny Cashman. For Worthing, their top scorer Aaron Blair starts, as does former Football League player Freddie Sears. Horrible day here down in Worthing. You wouldn't think it was a May playoff day. You'd be forgiven for thinking it was actually a midwinter league game. It's raining for the last few hours. Fans were treading through the puddles on the way in. There was part of the stand that was flooded. But thankfully the 4G pitch means there was no doubt over the fixture itself. Obviously Worthing have the home advantage today, but both teams have a better away record this season. Braintree actually unbeaten in the last 11 games on the road. That's a record that dates right back to New Year's Day, where they lost at Chelmsford. Worthing themselves, they finished the season, I believe, with 6 straight wins. So two great teams in great form. Both obviously got through playoff games to get here. Worthing beating Maidstone 2-1. Braintree overcoming Bath and Chelmsford, both in extra time. The Braintree fans, quite a few of them, I passed them on the way in. They had a police escort. They've taken up the corner on the far side, orange wigs, and they've got their flags out. So they're here full of noise, full of optimism and hoping for a better result than last season, where Worthing knocked them out in the playoff eliminator before going on to lose to Oxford City themselves. In the league this season, Braintree actually done the double over Worthing. They beat them 4-0 down in Essex and a 1-0 win here. So they'll come into the game full of confidence. And we're just waiting for the players are out warming up now. Actually, there is a bit of a break in the rain at the moment. Fingers crossed for a good game. I'm here with Barry Hunter, chairman here at Worthing. Barry, what a massive day this is for Worthing. What would it mean for the club to get promoted to the National League?
Well, for a start, Nick, it would be history, because we've never made it as far as the National League in our 137 years, or whatever that number is. So obviously huge. We're making history today, so it would mean a lot to the club to get to the National League. It would be ahead of our schedule, but you know, these chances don't come around very often, so you have to take them when they come.
Yeah, absolutely. You come into it on the back of some good form. I think you ended the season with 6 straight wins. But equally, Braintree unbeaten since New Year's Day. So it's going to be a tough game. How do you see it going?
Oh, it's got 0-0 written all over this. Absolutely. I think we've got 2 very good teams who deserve to be where they are. The league table doesn't lie. You know, we're within 3 points of each other. We've got the best defence in the league. We've got the best attack in the league. So, it should be a good game for the spectator. Yeah. Don't ask me to predict the result, though, will you?
No, I wouldn't do that. But, yeah, it should be a good game. But, yeah, thanks for your time, Barry. Atmosphere really ramping up in here now. We're about 10 minutes from kickoff. The huge queues outside look like they've gone down. All the fans are in. Braintree making most of the noise still in that corner, but Worthing have filled the goal next to them behind the stand behind the goal. They're giving it a bit of voice back to them. It was the hottest ticket in town. Tickets sold out within about 15 minutes when they went on sale on Wednesday night. Just looking outside of the ground, there's plenty of people that have found alternative vantage points. There's about 4 people on an extension roof, plenty on garden fences. So finding any way possible to watch the game. Just had a quick word with Barry Hunter, the Worthing chairman. He's excited but nervous, obviously hoping that they do the business today, but did say that they are ahead of their schedule, so it wouldn't be the end of the world if they didn't win. The rain stopped, just waiting for the players to come onto the pitch now, and we'll be away. Half time here, Worthing 1, Braintree 1. Been a really good first half. Both teams created chances. It started off quite nervy. Both teams looked like they were a bit nervous out there. Worthing trying to play a bit more of the football. Braintree, a taller side, playing a bit more direct. Both teams had a couple of early chances. Worthing had an early penalty appeal waved away. But it was Braintree that took the lead. On 23 minutes, Blackwell corner to the back post was powered into the top corner by midfielder Dom Odusanya, with his first goal for Braintree. Not a bad time to get your first goal for the club. A couple of quick chances after that, another similar corner, and Aaron Blair had a volley that was blocked. But on 35 minutes, it was that man, who else, Ollie Pearce, that had the home side level. Great long ball from Kane Wills. Superb touch from Pearce. Ran away from his defender. Just inside the box, keeper came out, and a really delicate finish into the far post. 43rd goal of the season. That's 40 in the league, plus 3 now in the playoffs. It really was a superb finish. Like I said, it's been a fairly even game. Braintree have had chances. Definitely looked dangerous from set pieces. But Worthing, always a threat with Pearce and Joe Felix's pace down the right. Looking forward to the second half. Half-time here, Worthing 1, Braintree 1. It's the end of 90 minutes here at Worthing. We're heading to extra time. It's finished Worthing 3, Braintree 3, at the end of quite simply an amazing second half. We had a 15-minute spell there that was crazy. We had 2 goals at either end. The score swayed back and forth. 53 minutes, first of all. A ball into the left-hand channel, found Ollie Pearce. He held it up well, turned his man, rolled it into the path of Jack Spong, who curled a superb left-footed shot into the left-hand corner. Worthing only held the lead for about 8 minutes. A long ball over the top at the other end. Cody Lyons-Foster got ahead to it, but failed to deal with it. Aaron Blair latched onto the loose ball and lifted it over the keeper. Just 5 minutes later, Braintree had turned it around and went 3-2 up with a superb goal from Charlie Wakefield. Picked up the ball on the corner of the 18-yard box on the right-hand side, fired a shot right across the keeper into the far top corner, in off the post. Unstoppable strike. And then just to end that crazy 15 minutes, 2 minutes later, Ollie Pearce again down the right-hand channel this time, held it up, turned inside, squared a superb ball across the side, across the box for Danny Cashman to side foot home. We still had 20 minutes to go at that stage. The game did settle down a bit, and it got to a point where I think both sides were happy for extra time. Braintree, in both their previous playoff games, have played extra time, so they've already played 60 minutes worth of extra time over the last couple of weeks. Not sure if that will give them the experience and hold them in good stead, or if it will tell on the legs. Still all to play for here. Extra time due to start. Worthing 3, Braintree 3. Half time in extra time, and it's still 3-3. No more goals, but an equally end-to-end 15-minute period there. Worthing had the better of the chances. 2 really good chances early on. Donohan with a chance at the near post, brilliantly saved by Sims. And then a point-blank header from Danny Cashman, which again was saved from Sims. Braintree did break on 100 minutes and actually had the ball in the back of the net, but Alfie Payne was alleged to have fouled the keeper, so that was ruled out. Legs are getting tired. We've had a lot of substitutions made, and you really can feel the nerves around the stadium now. The ball's into the box, you can hear screaming from both ends, and yeah, it really is going to get nervy. 15 minutes to go, still 3-3. And it's all over here. Braintree have won 4-3 after extra time and are promoted to the National League. A header from Reggie Lamb, 18 minutes into extra time, was the decider. Superb cross from Wakefield on the right, a free header from 6 yards, and he has nodded Braintree into the National League. The Braintree fans are streaming onto the pitch from the far right-hand corner. The Worthing players are on their knees. It's been a truly outstanding match and a superb advert for the National League South. Braintree have now beaten Worthing 3 times this season, so they could argue they've deserved the promotion, and they will now join Tamworth, Yeovil and Boston in the National League. Once again, it's been a superb game. Both teams have played their part, some excellent goals, but it's finished after extra time. Worthing 3, Braintree 4. I'm here at full time with Reggie Lamb, winning goal scorer. Reggie, how does it feel?
It feels amazing. This feeling's unbeatable. To have the fans here as well, the whole team's buzzing, and we're just so excited to get promotion, get over the line and get it all done after 3 games of 120 minutes.
I know, you must be exhausted. It was a crazy game, especially that second half. There was goals going in at both ends, but you came on and you got the winner. Great header. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Sorry. Hi, I'm here with Aaron Blair, Braintree striker. You've scored goals all season, you got another one today, and you're going up. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels amazing. My voice sounds like it's gone a little bit as well, but at the start of the season to now, like the group, it's just, it's amazing feeling, and I'm speechless kind of, because it's just such a group. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was just, well, watching from the sidelines, I was speechless in that second half. It was just like every attack went in, end to end. It was just crazy. How did it feel being out there?
It felt like a basketball game, honestly. Like, we score, and then they go and score. And I'm like, honestly, you feel like you're in control, and then next week, you know, they score, and it just shows. But that's what I like. Love this team, is that we go again and again.
Yeah, absolutely. Three playoff games, all extra time. You've come for them all. And now you can do it all again up in the National League against some real big clubs up there.
We just do it the hard way. We don't know how to do it easy. It's like, 120 minutes and going up to the National League against big teams, it's going to be amazing to experience that as well.
Aaron Racine, Worthing manager, it's been a brilliant season, but you've just fallen short, unfortunately. What did you make of the game today?
Yeah, obviously very close, very good for neutral. Lots of goals, and I think it could have gone either way. If you asked me that during the game, I'd say the same thing. It could have gone either way, so a bit gutted, but that's football.
Yeah, I sat up in the stand there, someone asked me at half time, who do I fancy? And at that stage, I didn't know, and that was only 1-1. So in the second half, when it was goals at either end, I really didn't have a clue. But yeah, it must have been a hard watch out there on the sideline. Just you didn't really have time to react, did you? It was literally one end goal, other end goal. It was like a basketball game.
Yeah, honestly, that's just, I don't think you've got time to react a lot of times when as a staff member, as a manager. But yeah, like I say, today was just football. I think it's a cup final, and you know, these sort of things happen sometimes. you can be the better team, not saying we were, but sometimes you can be the better team and lose, sometimes you can be the worst team and win, and I think that's what all finals are about, really. Sometimes it's not always, it doesn't always go your way, it's just the luck of the draw sometimes. And like I said, it's not taking anything away from Braintree, because I thought they were brilliant today and they've been brilliant all season, but I think today summed up what a final was.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a great advert for the National League South, and it stands you in good stead for next season. Are you hopefully going to be ready to go again? And
I don't know. Obviously, I'm here just for, this is effectively my last day, just at the end of the season. So we'll see what the club do next year.
Okay, and just finally, Ollie Pearce, he had another great game out there, didn't he? Absolutely brilliant goal, that touch and the finish, and then the two assists.
It's Ollie Pearce, isn't it? That's what he does. He scores goals, he gets assists, that's it. So well done to him.
That's it then. What a crazy weekend it's been, culminating in that incredible game between Worthing and Braintree. Congratulations to all the playoff winners. Commiserations to the losers. Huge thanks to all those who've contributed to this podcast. And it is many, many people, believe me, in terms of those doing the work, getting the interviews, and those being interviewed as well. We've thoroughly enjoyed this season, particularly this playoff weekend as well. Thank you for listening, and look out elsewhere for our England Sea Pod that will be out within 24 hours of this one. Other than that, thanks to our producer, Luke Edwards. Luke, play the theme tune.